This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Don't Tell Me. The NPR News Quiz. Need a little color in your life? I'm Roy G. Bill Curtis. And here's your host, 2022's most searched name on Google. When Peter Sagal is doing the searching, it's Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks once again to our fake audience. Later on, we're going to be talking to the legendary rock guitarist Slash. We'll ask him about the burden of being confused constantly for a punctuation mark. You know, as in, I love everybody in Guns N' Roses. Axl Rose, Slash, Izzy Stradlin. Please share your burdens with us when you call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Troy Blankenstein from Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas. I understand it's a toddling town. What do you do there?
I'm a Army Space Operations Officer.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. You're not in the Space Force, are you?
No, I am not in the Space Force. I am in the Army.
Oh, you're in the Army doing space. So what does a soldier do in space? What's your job?
We help the guys on the ground make their lives a little bit easier.
Right. So you're like looking down from, you're looking down from the sky. Am I?
Yeah. I mean, you could pretty much do the job right there. You got it.
There you are. I know we've got like Google Earth and we've got these satellite pictures and they're pretty good, but I've always assumed that the satellite images you guys get in the military are really good. So can you like look down from the sky and like pick out individual people? Like you could look at me and see my hairline and go, oh yeah, there's Sagal.
Well, Peter, I don't think you're interesting enough for me to come down and look at you. So, sorry about that.
That Kansas humor.
Well, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the comedian you can see in LA on May 6th at the Regent Theater. It's Cristela Alonso.
Hello.
Next, a comedian touring the country on his family reunion stand-up tour. Details at TomPapa.com. That's right, it's Tom Papa.
Hooray!
And finally, it's a comedian and author of the wonderful new book, Tell Everyone on This Train I Love Them. It's Maeve Higgins.
Hi.
Hey.
So, Troy, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, any voice from the show you might choose in your voicemail. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. For your first quote, here is well-known actor Daniel Radcliffe.
I'm dramatically bored of hearing people's opinions about it.
Mr. Radcliffe became a true hero when he became the only person in Hollywood this week to refuse to offer an opinion on what incident at the Oscars.
I'm going to go ahead and guess the Will Smith slapping of Chris Rock incident.
That's exactly right. The slap during last Sunday's award show, actor Will Smith stood up and did us a favor. He gave us all something to talk about other than the fact that we still haven't gotten around to seeing Coda, the Best Picture winner, even though our parents told us it was very sweet. You're right, Smith got up. He slapped Chris Rock for making a joke about Smith's wife's hair loss, leading to 1,000 news segments, panel discussions, essays on toxic masculinity and chivalry and violence in Hollywood, and still nobody got the most important lesson. Jokes about bald people are just not funny.
I have to agree. I mean, the amount of times I have hoped and wished silently that my wife would stand up for me and slap someone who made a comment about my hair, and she never did it. Because a lot of times she was the one making the comment.
All right. All three of you are have been stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were like, oh my God, this is terrible. This is going to encourage other people to get up and attack comedians for jokes they don't like. Are you guys worried about your safety?
Yeah, but it's nothing new. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I think
that's the life, man.
Yeah,
you're always. I mean, Will Smith is always getting up out of the crowd and laying one on you. That's just how it works.
We would welcome a slap. How about getting nachos thrown at you after you've ironed your shirt for an hour and a half, or people wrestling you with you in the parking lot?
Isn't that awful when they serve food in comedy clubs? That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me in a comedy club. Just somebody just like loudly eating pie. In front of me.
How do you loudly eat pie?
Exactly. I guess I shouldn't have handed them the microphone.
Who goes to a comedy club to eat pie?
My audience.
Seriously. I mean, what? Are you playing in clubs with a two dessert minimum?
One night only at Marie Callender's.
It's cute that Daniel Radcliffe didn't want to say anything about it. That's really cute. I did this 10-day silent retreat before, which yeah. I haven't stopped talking about it since. and I was certainly wishing I was back there this week. So I get it, little Harry
really?
Potter.
Mm-hmm. After an entire week, the incident has been so talked to death, it's going to be the finale of next year's In Memoriam reel. All right. Here is your next quote.
I can't remember. Was anything happening on that day that Donald Trump might have been talking with people about?
That was Dan Rather throwing a little shade on the news that the White House logs show Trump made no phone calls for over 7.5 hours on what particular day?
The January 6th insurrection.
Exactly right. January 6th, 2021. The January 6th committee finally got the call record from Donald Trump's White House on the day of the insurrection. And it starts out, you know, how you'd expect, with lots of calls in the morning to Rudy Giuliani via the White House switchboard and calls to Stephen Miller by drawing a pentagram on the floor. Then, nothing for 7.5 hours during the attack on the Capitol itself. What happened? It's possible his staff just gave him a toy phone to distract him. Yes, I know the cow says moo. I need to speak to the general.
By the way, can we? I just say that January 6th is my birthday.
Oh, how unfortunate. I don't know how to say to that. Congratulations.
So all day long, Trump called me and we were on the phone for 7 hours talking about my birthday.
Really?
And like, oh my God, girl. Yes.
In the olden days, didn't they record everything in the Oval Office? And like, that's how they Nixon.
Richard Nixon did that. And then no president ever did that again because Dick Nixon did that. And it didn't work out well for
him. Whoa, spoiler. I haven't read it yet.
Okay, sorry.
I haven't gotten up to Nixon yet. Hold on.
There's a good movie about it with Robert Redford. You'll enjoy it. It's fun.
I don't know why everyone's suspicious and thinks that he may be hiding something. I mean, he was flushing documents down a toilet.
Yes.
Oh, you think he might have flushed the phone down there?
Yeah, maybe that's where the phone went.
Maybe that's where he flushed the records, and then the January 6th committee finds out, and they're like, yeah, no, we can live without it. It's fine.
Do you have those rubber gloves that go up to your shoulder?
All right, here is your last quote.
On a typical day, it saves our members an astonishing 195 years.
That was a senior executive at Netflix as he was celebrating the 5th anniversary of what innovative feature?
Is it the ability to skip the intros or skip to the next?
That's exactly what it is. Well done. The skip intro button.
Wow.
Netflix's director of product innovation said this week that the skip intro button saves users almost 200 years worth of time every day, which by coincidence, is just enough time to watch Grey's Anatomy from start to finish.
200 years.
But the way he put it, it's such a strange thing to brag about. Oh, you saved people 195 years every day with your skip intro button. So what you're saying is, if we just skipped everything on Netflix and canceled our subscriptions, we could all lead meaningful, productive lives instead of binge watching Is It Cake?
We'd actually get younger.
Yes. So
we would reverse the aging process.
We'd wake up in the late 18th century. It'd be awesome. The only problem, I mean, it's a great feature. We all love it, especially if you're binge watching because you just watched the credits last time. But at the same time, wouldn't it be a great feature that you could use in like the rest of life? You'd go to like a trendy restaurant and like, well, have you dined with us before? Because we do skip intro. you know that men are like, hey, if we Netflix and chill, can we skip foreplay?
Hey.
For the longest time, I thought it was Netflix and chili, and it just meant me eating chili alone and watching Netflix.
Which, what's the big deal? You do it all the time. Yes. Phil, how did Troy do in our quiz?
Troy's a joy. He is Jayhawk strong. Three in a row. Perfect.
Congratulations, Troy.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. And next time I'm out outside, I'll look up and wave hello. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Cristela, a man in Las Vegas, came under some widespread criticism this week after his wife posted a video of him. The scene is she's in labor in the hospital delivery room, and he is right next to her doing what?
Playing video games.
Exactly right. He brought his Xbox from home.
Yeah.
Oh. With a monitor, he is playing Xbox next to his wife who's in labor. It's one of life's greatest moments. You're there with your wife in the delivery room. She's having contractions. The nurses are gathered around, and you pull off the perfect kill shot for a victory royale. So this man, he set up the whole system in the hospital room, somehow managing to play first-person shooters while encouraging his wife to, like, breathe, honey, you got this. He's not completely thoughtless, though. He let her play a bit, too, which was great practice for when she murders him later.
You got a lot of downtime. I mean, what are you doing?
I have been through this a number of times.
Setting up an Xbox?
Yes, exactly. I've set up Xboxes. Well, I'm older, so in my case, the first one was an Atari. You know,
Atari 7800.
Yeah, I think my first child was a Nintendo Cube. But at any rate,
it was one of those sticks with the ball where you.
that's how old I am.
Will you grow up, Peter?
A wooden hula hoop.
Wooden hula hoop.
Sir, sit down.
Coming up, it's a Technicolor Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT-TO-PLAY. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on Black experiences. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Maeve Higgins, Cristela Alonso, and Tom Papa. And here again is your host, a man who keeps hitting the extend intro button to make this part of the show go on longer. One of my favorite people, one of the greatest men I know, a prince among men, a river unto his people. It's Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you were on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, hi, it's Jackie Lovejoy. I'm in my sunroom in Beverly Hills, Michigan.
Whoa, Jackie Lovejoy in Beverly Hills, and you threw in a twist there at the end. What is Beverly Hills, Michigan like, and where is it?
It's not like 90120. We're just about 20 minutes from Detroit. I work in Dearborn. I'm president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. And
wait a minute, how can you be president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce if you don't live in Dearborn?
They haven't caught on yet. It's only been 9 years.
Hopefully none of them listen to the show.
Oh, no, I'm telling everybody. Yeah.
Well, welcome, Jackie. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what's Jackie's topic?
These colors don't run.
For Bill and I, there's only three colors that matter: red, white, and blue. Vive la France. Another color, though, made the news this week, and our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the one who's telling you the true story about color in this week's news. You'll win the Wait Waiter of your choice in your voicemail. You ready to play?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. First, let's hear from Cristela Alonso.
A recent TikTok video of one Anthony Lewis of Daly City, California, celebrating his birthday has gone viral, but not for the reason his wife had hoped. Anthony is colorblind. So his wife, Anne, surprised Anthony by buying him a pair of those special glasses that allow people who are colorblind to see color correctly. The TikTok video starts out happy. Anthony points at everything in the room, delighted, and says, "I can't believe how beautiful everything is." And then he looks in a mirror and the smile vanishes. Anthony says, "Wait, what the hell? Why am I dressed in all purple?" The camera person then follows Lewis as he runs to his bedroom closet to discover an all-purple wardrobe. It turns out all these years, Anne had told Andrew she had been dressing him in cool slate grays and earth tones, and he was not happy to discover the truth. "I'm sorry, honey, but I just love you in purple," Anne replies. "But I don't love me in purple," Anthony replied, as he is seen climbing into their bed, getting under purple covers, and putting a purple pillow over his face.
A man discovers that he's been wearing purple his whole married life, much to his dismay. Your next story of hues in the news comes from Tom Papa.
The U.S. military may be getting a new look, and if they do, we may not recognize it. Based on a new color study, the best way to overtake your enemy is to dress in pink. Research shows that pink, specifically Baker Miller pink, also known as P618 Schaus pink, calms and soothes our emotional energies, relieving feelings of anger and aggression. What better way to lull the enemy into submission than to show up painted in the soft, calming hues of a newborn's onesie? According to Los Angeles-based life coach Billy Lee, when the opposition sees steel gray, they get angry and want to fight. When they see pink, they let their defenses down and want to cuddle. The military wardrobe change would cover everything from pink tanks, rifles, and even pink camo, which could come in handy when stationed in Florida at the Flamingo Sanctuary.
The U.S. Army considers going from olive green to pink for its calming effects. And your last colorful tale comes from Maeve Higgins.
Listen up, threes. A five is speaking. Here's the real story, and you know it's true because it happened on St. Patrick's Day, the day Ireland was invented. St. Patrick's Day was about more than corned beef and tears for one school in Indiana. It was also school picture day. You know, the day when teachers get their revenge on kids by making sure to memorialize them at their weirdest looking ages. Sugar Grove Elementary School got a green screen for school picture day, not realizing that because school picture day fell on St. Patrick's Day, all the kids would be wearing green too. All of the kids showed up wearing green, and the screen blanked out the kids' bodies, leaving the parents to get photos of their kids as they'd never seen them before. No torsos, no butts, just little legs dangling in the air, disconnected from the little heads floating above. Everybody found it hilarious, except for one child who wore a green baseball cap and a mask and ended up looking like the peeping eyes emoji. His mom said, "That is a great improvement, sweetie."
All right, here are your choices. There was a story about color in the news. Was it from Cristela Alonso, a video going viral of a man who's cured of his colorblindness only to discover his wife has been dressing him like a grape? From Tom Papa, the U.S. Army considering changing their color scheme to a calming pink? Or from Maeve Higgins, how St. Patrick's Day ruined a school's picture day when all the kids dressed in green and vanished into the background? Which of these is a real story in the week's news?
I'm going to run with our first one, with the poor colorblind man who wore purple too much.
So you're going to go for Cristela's story of the colorblind guy who got the gift of those glasses that provide color vision, and he discovered that his wife had been lying to him all those years about how she was dressing him.
Yes, I believe he was horrified.
All right. I think he would be horrified. All right. To bring you the real answer, we spoke to someone who was actually involved in the real story.
My son had a green party at school, so we put him in a green mohawk, a green shirt, lime green shorts, and sent him to school. And I had forgotten it was picture day.
That was Amanda Snow, mother of Sugar Grove elementary students Oliver Snow, who, like a lot of his classmates, wore green for picture day and ended up being depicted
as a floating head.
Oh.
So I'm sorry you didn't win her prize, but you did earn a point for Costella for coming up with what I find to be a horrifying story, you know, of a marriage gone terribly wrong. But nonetheless, thank you so much for playing.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Great day. Thank you.
It was a
pleasure.
Well
done, Jackie.
Thank you.
Take care. And now the game where rock gods deign to spend a little time with us mere mortals. Even though his very first instrument was a one-string flamenco guitar given to him by his grandma, Slash still managed to become what many believe to be one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time. He's got a new album out with his group Slash, featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Slash, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear it. I got to ask, though, about that thing that we heard. Your first guitar was a one-string flamenco guitar?
Yeah, it's sort of a long story. Like, it was an acoustic guitar that was buried in one of the closets in my grandmother's apartment. And I knew absolutely nothing about guitars. So I started learning songs on the one string. And I learned Days of Confused. And then I learned a couple of UFO songs. And there was an Aerosmith song. I don't know. Whatever I could learn on one string, I started doing.
So when did you finally find out that guitars had more than one string?
Well, I mean, I knew there was more strings. There was a local music school. The teacher over there, his name was Robert Wolin. Still to this day, one of the best guitar players I ever heard play. But anyway, so he taught me how to put the other five strings on.
Oh, okay. He actually like said, oh, you know, these go here, Slash.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay. I learned a lot of things about you this week I didn't know. For one thing, that your parents, both of them, were broadly speaking in show business. Your mother was a costume designer, right? And she worked with some really cool people like David Bowie she designed for?
My mom was a clothing designer, basically. And so she did a lot of musicians in the 60s and 70s into the 80s. And then my dad designed album covers, and he worked for Asylum Records, which was David Geffen's first real record company.
Wow. So you grew up around these amazing musicians.
In Laurel Canyon, no less.
Of course.
So it was a really great.
So like you come home from school and wave to Joni Mitchell up on her balcony? That sort of
no, my dad did her album covers, and Joni was like a family friend, and my mom did her clothes, and I went to Joni's sessions and all kinds of stuff.
Did your mother ever like design one of your onstage costumes? Because that would make her,
actually,
I imagine, very proud.
No, she did make me one of the best pairs of leather pants I ever had, which they were really, really cool. And there's a lot of pictures out there from me back in the day wearing them.
Yeah.
And I wish I still had them, but I traded them with this guy for stuff. It's ridiculous. You know?
You traded away the leather pants your mom made you?
Yeah, but he got a hat out of it.
That's what happens, kids, you know?
I mean, I've heard stories about hitting bottom, but that's a new one.
Just say no to drugs.
It's like, hi, I'm Slash, and I knew I was in trouble when I traded away my leather pants that my mom made me. We got to ask, if we're talking costumes, we got to ask about the hat, which has become your trademark. I've heard you made that hat, or you designed it.
Well, I back in the day, you know, Guns, I think, was playing at the Whiskey in like 1985, right? And I always wore hats, you know, always, like that was always the complete thing, to have a, you know, a lid of some sort. And so we were playing the show at the Whiskey, and I didn't have any money or anything. So I went down to Melrose and went into this store and saw that top hat. I thought, oh, that's cool, you know, and it was really crowded in there. And I just picked it up and walked out. And then I went next door and I found a concho belt in there, grabbed that. And then I went back to the apartment where Axel and I were staying, and I put the concho belt, cut it up and put it around the hat and wore it that night. And it just became a thing, you know, it became almost like my alter ego. Like I could hide in that thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of amazing, but kind of cool that like the single most famous piece of headwear in rock and roll was stolen. Cause of course that's more rock and roll than like, you know, buying it at Target, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think we had Target back then.
You know, one of the things I'm curious about is you and your band became so iconic. I can't imagine what it's like. Like if you ever walk into like a music store, do you know that some idiot is going to be in the corner just butchering one of your songs on a, you know?
It's funny though, because I used to work at a music store at one time, and so I do know what that's like for other to have guys come in, sit down on an amp, and plug in and play any number of Zeppelin or Van Halen songs. I've been through that.
Right.
But I've never actually seen anybody play a Guns N' Roses song in a music store myself personally, but I've heard that happens.
I'm sure it does. And have you ever been like in a Whole Foods and realized that the instrumental music is Sweet Child of Mine?
That happens a lot. There's really? A lot of, yeah, Muzak versions of songs, of our songs. But yeah, I've heard it in different places, and it takes you about 5 seconds to recognize what it is.
Yeah. We understand you have some enthusiasms outside of music. One of them is the game Angry Birds.
Oh God, where did you hear that? That was from years ago when Angry Birds first came out. Yeah. I thought this is the greatest game. And I got involved with them. I actually recorded some music for them, and I used to go out to Finland and hang out at Angry Birds. But it was just a fun thing that was happening. And
I'm just going to assume, I don't know much about the rock and roll lifestyle, but you can pretty much do anything you want. And you're like, there's this game on my phone where you throw birds at pigs, and I want to hang out with the guys who do that.
Well, I thought the idea and the graphics were really, really original and great. And so the fact that they were in Finland, which is where we were playing, I had to go check it out.
Oh, sure. You know? Well, if you're in Finland anyway, absolutely. Are there any games, as you say, that was a little while ago, Angry Birds' heyday. Are there any games you're really into now?
No. I just, great. It was Angry Birds, and then I sort of, you know, that went away, and I just got sick of being addicted to my phone.
Sure.
once you're angry at the birds, that's when it's time to stop.
Right. Yeah. Hey, this is great, but we have business to do. / We have invited you here to this time play a game we're calling.
Here she is, Miss America.
What do you ask / about? Well, obviously, sashes, namely the sashes worn by beauty queens. No. We're going to ask you 3 questions about beauty pageants of various kinds. Get 2 right, you'll win the prize. For one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they may choose from our show on their voicemail. Bill, who is / playing for?
Matt Herman of Los Angeles, California.
All right. Here's your first question. Winners of the Miss South Carolina beauty pageant back in the 50s and 60s, in addition to the sash and the crown, also often won the privilege of doing what? A, serving as governor for any one day of their choosing during their year-long reign. B, getting to walk on the grass anywhere, even if the sign says, stay off the grass. Or C, getting to marry Senator Strom Thurmond.
The only one that sounds even realistic is the first one. I mean, I'd feel sorry for the grass. And marrying a senator, that's just not happening. I couldn't be right. Except for South Carolina. So that's probably the right answer.
Well, in fact, it is the right answer. Strom Thurmond married 2 different Miss South Carolinas in his lengthy career.
Joke. Okay.
It did happen. Strom Thurmond married 2 different Miss South Carolinas who were both 22 years old at the time, and he did that 20 years apart. He got around, old Strom. All right. If you're not into Miss America, there are other titles a pageant contestant can vie for, including which of these? A, Miss Neurotoxin, B, America's Greatest Cyber Ninja, or C, the Armpit Queen.
And this is a real thing.
It's a real thing. One of these things, only one, actually happens every year.
I'll have to go with the Cyber Ninja.
The America's Greatest Cyber Ninja?
I don't know what the I'm doing. I'm just going.
/ neither do we. And yet, here we are.
It just was the coolest name. I mean, the neurotoxin one was pretty cool, but Cyber Ninja is pretty cool. So
yeah, I know. Now, it is a cool name. I'm just going to say, hold on. Christella, you're the super fan here. Do you want to help him out if you can?
I don't know.
Yeah, then I have to go for the first one, because if it's the armpit thing, I'm not playing anymore.
Well, / it's been great having you in the show, because it is, in fact, the Armpit Queen. Yeah. There's a town called Battle Mountain, Nevada, and it was named the Armpit of America by Gene Weingarten of the Washington Post, officially. So they decided to embrace it. All right. People sometimes criticize pageants, beauty pageants, for just encouraging women to care about their looks. Well, in Venezuela, they kind of embrace that. They hold an annual pageant to honor what? A, the best plastic surgery. B, the most attractive Barbie doll. Or C, the blondest blonde.
Most attractive Barbie doll.
You're right. Yeah. You nailed it. Did you do it by reverse psychology, thinking like, yes, one it can't be? It is true. They have a Miss Barbie doll contest. People dress up their Barbie dolls. They have it at a very tiny stage in Caracas, Venezuela, every year. Bill, how did Slash do in our quiz?
Got 2 out of 3. So he is a winner. Squeezed one in.
Absolutely. That's Bill. He decides. You win. Congratulations. Slash's latest album is 4. Slash, thank you so much for joining us. You thrilled us all by sharing some time. Thank you, man.
It's been really fun and different talking to you guys.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Have a good one, you guys. Cheers.
In just a minute, Bill insists that what he's doing is totally legal. You can't arrest him. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We will be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear, it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Maeve Higgins, Tom Papa, and Cristela Alonzo. And here again is your host. He's a sweet child of mine, Peter Sagan.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill holds a candle in the cold November rhyme in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Or to put it another way, welcome to the jungle. Maeve, this week, the New York Times reported on the teenage practice of mask fishing. What is mask fishing?
Yeah. Oh, instead of catfishing.
Exactly. So mask fishing is...
when you think it's somebody else behind the mask, or you're pretending to be somebody else behind the mask.
I'll give it to you. When you're pretending to be more attractive than you are. As you say, it comes from catfishing. Well, except in this case, you're not pretending you're, you know, like, say, a beautiful young woman. You're pretending you're able to grow a real mustache rather than the sad, dead caterpillar stuck in your upper lip. And this is becoming more obvious the more restrictions are easing. So, you know, like the guy who is still wearing his mask outside by himself after his third booster in New Zealand, assume he has no teeth.
Or he has like 3 rows of them or something.
He's got his upper teeth, his lower teeth, and his middle teeth. Oh, yes. I think you would hide that.
Oh, that's so tricky. I mean, it's already so hard being a teenager. I don't know. But I guess it's something interesting. You know, if you have kind of like a, let's say like a dull face, like I would say I have like a pretty, you know, that's why I have a necklace, earrings, brighten up a dull face. If I had the option... it's nice to add some color with, I don't know, like a monocle or a mask or something.
As a bald guy, I don't have a good face or a bad face. I just have a lot of face.
Wait, you're not allowed to make ball jokes.
I am.
Peter.
One can make ball jokes.
I'm going to need you to slap yourself in the face right now.
Boosh. Keep my own name out of my effing mouth. Christella, Congressman Madison Cawthorn got in deep trouble with his Republican Party leaders this week for suggesting that they sometimes do what?
Orgies and coke.
That's exactly right. So Cawthorn, who's a character, said he'd been talking to senior Republican politicians, people, quote, he'd admired his whole life, and, quote, then all of a sudden you get invited, we're going to have a sexual get-together at one of our homes, you should come, unquote. And please, take it from us at NPR, that is exactly how people extend invitations to orgies.
Sounds like someone got filibustered.
Now, Cawthorn is notorious for making stuff up, but still, what's amazing is after everything he has done, this is what got him in trouble with his party. Apparently, and this is true, a lot of politicians' wives started asking them about those, quote, late night caucus meetings they were always at. And so they got mad at him, and he had to backtrack. He had to say he made it up.
Ugh. Because they don't like when their wives talk to them.
Yes, exactly right. Don't you understand? I have to talk to my wife. She's curious about this. Maeve, as I'm sure you know, there are different categories of fun officially. And this week, the Washington Post investigated type 2 fun. Type 1 fun, in case you were wondering or didn't know, is like the obvious fun. Like, let's go down to the beach and have some margaritas, or, you know, let's hang out and have a nice dinner. Mm-hmm. So in type 1 fun, you're enjoying yourself. Type 2 fun, you are
enjoying someone else.
No.
Or like,
it's very different from the type of fun where you're enjoying yourself. It's the type of fun where you are,
oh, like achieving something. It's like you're actually just like you're having fun, but not in an obvious way. But actually later you think that wasn't too bad.
That's exactly right. Type 1 fun, that's when you're like just doing something obviously fun, dancing if you like to dance, going down, sitting on the beach, surfing, whatever. But type 2 fun is the kind of thing that you're doing that you're not necessarily or probably not enjoying in the moment. But later on, you look back and go, man, that was great. So obvious examples are, you know, climbing a mountain, running a marathon. Type 3 fun, in case you're wondering, isn't fun at all. Doing things like classifying the different kinds of fun. So one person in the post says an example of type 2 fun is Disneyland, because you have to wait in long, boring lines and put up with the heat and the crowds. Mm. But then you get to like ride a cool ride. When you think about it, like most of life is type 2 fun. You have a job, it's miserable, but it gets you money, which gets you drugs, and that's fun.
All right, Slash. Somebody's been talking to Slash and thinks he's so cool now.
Someone's going to sell leather pants too.
Oh, no.
Someone's leaving the show for a sexy get together.
Like, sexy gathering is like type 1 fun. Sexy gathering with Madison Cawthorn, no fun at all. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also find tickets there to our upcoming shows at Wolf Trap in Northern Virginia on August 25th and 26th.
Great place.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Chris Stillingham, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
That is great. We were just in Atlanta. I love Atlanta. What do you do there?
I work in the film industry. I'm in a department known as craft service.
Oh, my gosh. Yum. You're in craft services. Okay.
So thank you for your service, sir.
It's a lucky gig. I'm very grateful for it. I've
met some craft services people who were like really good at their jobs. For example, one, I was on a shoot and there was like a big fruit plate. And I would go over and get some grapes. And every time I took a bunch of grapes, I would turn my back and the craft service person would instantly replace it with an identical bunch of grapes.
It's the same grapes, Peter. You never had them.
Special effects, man. They're CGI.
Those grapes have been dead for 30 years.
Well, Chris, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in 2 of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
Okay, here is your first limerick.
The address they had was a fail, so the post office held a big sale. I enter the game when a box isn't claimed. I buy and I open old
mail.
Yes, indeed. This week we learned about the newest money-making opportunity, opening other people's mail. Now I know what you're thinking. Isn't that illegal? Apparently not if it's undeliverable. Like they always say, one man's mistyped apartment number on a heartfelt gift to his granddaughter is another man's treasure. So the way it works is if the post office decides something is undeliverable and they can't give it back to whomever sent it, they just sell it off in bulk. And one woman has a very popular TikTok in which she just buys these packages in bulk for like a buck a piece, and then she opens them on camera to see what's inside, and she's found some valuable stuff, like, you know, electronic stuff or gift cards. She also found a package of toenail clippings, which is the second worst thing that ever happened to her, next to the guy getting in touch and saying, "You found them." All right, Chris, here's your next limerick.
When VR is done very well, it can feel like I'm really in hell. The headset excretes whiffs of sulfurous feet, because this video game includes...
Smell, yes, smell. Turns out, virtual reality type video games are even more intense when you include realistic smells. It's true, you haven't really played Sonic the Hedgehog till you've smelled him mark his territory. So scientists got some people who were playing Resident Evil 7, that's a horror video game, and they presented them with synthetic smells, including rotting food, corpses, and smoke, which sounds kind of disgusting, but in actuality, it is. And the study found that the addition of odor greatly increased participants' sense of sort of presence within the virtual space. They felt much more like they were actually in the room fighting zombies. And it works across all platforms. For example, in Pac-Man, once you smell those white dots, you understand why he cannot stop eating them.
California Adventure, the amusement park, has a ride called Soaring that does that.
Oh, everybody like, loves Soaring.
The club part. Well, like, not so well. First of all, don't yell at me. Oh my God!
I honestly never heard of it before. I only heard of like it's a small world, and then you smell different children as you go around, and it is not pleasant.
No, especially when you get to the adolescent section, because those guys. Oh. All right, here is your last limerick.
Though the runway is paved with regret, my kid's quinceanera is set. Her party will fly over Mexico's sky. We are renting the president's
jet.
Jet, yes. The president of Mexico has been desperately trying for 3.5 years to sell the luxurious official presidential jet that was purchased by his predecessor. So this week, after not being able to find anyone to buy it, they announced it is available to rent for weddings, quinceañeras. You know, you can just get it and pretend you're president for the day.
I wonder how much it is, because it feels like, you know, if it was cheap,
would you do it?
I mean, you could fit, how many people can you fit in? 300 people. And if it was just like $300 each or something, and then you could all,
well, the problem
it'd be
is,
very uncomfortable.
I like how you have the opportunity to create a party and you're creating JetBlue.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm in a really itchy uniform for some reason.
Bill, how did Chris do in our quiz?
Chris served up a perfect score with real grapes this time. Thanks, Chris.
Chris, thanks so much. And if I ever get to be in a movie in Atlanta, I'll look for you.
Please do. Thanks, guys.
Take good care, job, man. Chris.
Have a good week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Maeve has 2, Tom has 2, Christella has, wait for it, 4.
Oh my gosh, how is that even possible? Christella, you are in first place. The other two are tied. for second. So let's just say, Tom, arbitrarily, you go first. Okay. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, officials in Russia downplayed reports of progress in their peace talks with blank.
Ukraine.
Right. On Monday, the White House unveiled a new $5.8 trillion blank.
Budget.
Right. This week, a federal judge ruled that President Trump, quote, more likely than not, unquote, tried to illegally overturn the blank.
The election.
In 2020. On Wednesday, Oklahoma and Arizona became the latest states to ban transgender students from participating in blank.
Sports.
Yes. A mugger in Ohio who stole $80 from a man at a gas station this week was confident he would get away because he blanked.
Had roller skates on.
No, because he made his victim pinky swear not to call the police. This week, scientists finally finished fully decoding the human blank.
Genome.
Right. At Prince Philip's memorial service on Tuesday, blank made her first public appearance in months.
The Queen.
Yes, Elizabeth. This week, police in England tracked down a prolific bike thief after they blanked.
After they set a bicycle trap.
No, after they saw his giant pile of stolen bicycles from space. The mountain of stolen bikes was so enormous, it was easily seen on satellite photos taken from orbit. Police opened an investigation into the thefts after someone on the International Space Station looked out the window and said, "Hi, I'd like to report a Stonehenge made of bicycles." Bill, how did Tom Papa do in our quiz?
Well, he had 6 right for 12 more points. He now has 14 and the lead.
Maeve, you're up next. Fill in the blank. According to a new poll, the majority of Americans now say they've contracted blank at some point in the last 2 years.
Oh, COVID-19.
Yes. This week, a mom in New York who scored tickets for her and her daughter to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers was disappointed when she realized blank.
Oh, the poor man died.
No. What happened was she had actually bought tickets to see the all bagpipe band, the Red Hot Chili Pipers. And ladies and gentlemen, this keeps happening. Please check your tickets before leaving the box office. Country music star Eric Church apologized to fans this week after he canceled a sold-out show in San Antonio because blank.
He got COVID.
No, he didn't. He canceled the show because he wanted to watch the UNC Duke NCAA basketball game.
Oh, well, I don't know what that is.
Hey, Bill. How did Maeve do in our quiz?
Well, she was close to a personal best with 1 right.
Oh, my gosh.
For 2 more points, she now has 4. But Tom still has the lead with 14.
So how many, then, does Christella need to win?
Christella needs 6 to win.
Here we go, Christella. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the CDC and the FDA approved a 4th blank for people over the age of 50.
Booster shot.
Yet on Monday, President Biden said he was speaking from a place of moral outrage, not policy, when he said blank cannot remain in power.
Putin.
Right. This week, the White House announced a plan to release up to 1 million barrels of blank per day from national reserves.
Oil.
Right. On Monday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed the so-called blank bill into law.
Don't say gay.
Right, exactly. Yay.
Gay.
Gay.
This week, a woman in California was arrested after she was caught driving a stolen car to blank.
To work.
To her court appearance for stealing a different car. Oh. After a lengthy blackout, blank games are once again being aired in China.
Basketball.
Yeah, NBA games. After being diagnosed with aphasia, blank announced he was retiring from acting.
Bruce Willis.
Right. According to a new study from Scotland's Parks Department, the best way to avoid injury while hiking in the Scottish mountains is to not blank.
Hike.
No, is to not. That would work, but they announced that the best way to avoid injury, serious injury, is to not be a man staring at his phone. The vast majority of injuries to hikers in the mountains of Scotland happens to men, and the majority of those men happen to be on their phone at the time. In fact, being a man is so detrimental to a hiker's health that of the 114 fatalities studied over the last decade, 104 were men, and the 10 women who died were just holding a man's hand while he accidentally stepped off the ledge because he was looking at Twitter. No. Bill, did Christella do well enough to win?
She got 6 right for 12 more points, which means, yeah, she won. She's getting in with 6.
Whoa, whoa. You see, you doubted yourself.
Whoa.
Whoa.
In just a minute, our panelists are going to predict what will be the big thing we'll all be talking about after next year's Oscars. But first, let me tell you, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our tour manager is Shayna Donald. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, Lillian King, and Nancy Seychow. Our production assistant is Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis. Special thanks to Vinnie Thomas. Peter Gwynn is our speed force. Enter him. Technical direction is Melorna White. Her CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the big story out of next year's Oscars? Cristela Alonso.
I think Meryl Streep will elbow drop Taylor Swift.
Why not? Tom Papa.
They're going to move it to Austin, Texas and put it in the octagon.
And Maeve Higgins.
The story of how Michael B. Jordan proposed to his Irish girlfriend right after she won her 4 Oscars.
Well, if any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Cristela Alonso, Tom Papa, and Maeve Higgins. Thanks to all of you for listening. We're so glad you joined us this week. I'm Peter Sagal, and we will see you next week. This is NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This election season, you can expect to hear a lot of news, some of it meaningful, much of it not. Give the Up First podcast 15 minutes, sometimes a little less, and we'll help you sort it out, what's going on around the world and at home. 3 stories, 15 minutes, Up First, every day. Listen every morning, wherever you get your podcasts.